Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can go to every week when it's movie night. On days like today, when the store is quiet, I get to chat to my friends about the films and the series that we're loving. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop.
Did you see that thing yesterday on the TV?
How's it?
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm always going to do that.
Lovely. Welcome to the video store. Thank you for wandering in. We're a video store.
Yeah.
We rent you movies.
Yes.
You don't get to keep them. You borrow them for a little, but you've got to bring them back by tomorrow at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
Or we fine you.
Be kind. Be kind. Rewind, please. Be kind. Rewind.
Welcome to the video store. We have ourselves a G-Force here today.
Good morning.
Graham is an editor and very much the producer of the show.
Yay.
An award-winning producer.
Yay.
Last year we won Best Production at the South African Podcast Awards.
You should have won Handsomest Boys as well. But that's not a category, unfortunately. But
yet.
Yeah. And we've got ourselves a P-Dog.
Hello.
A parent?
Yes.
You are a editor, writer.
Yeah, videographer.
Videographer.
A bit of everything.
We're not working here at the video store, and my name is Russell. I am the owner of The Bioscope, which is an independent cinema here in Johannesburg. And today we've just got our other job, which is behind the counter here, talking about the films and the TV shows that we've been enjoying. We had ourselves a great week last week.
Nice.
We did a video store presents night. This is where we use the facility we have at hand, which is the Bioscope, to screen the movies that we want to see. It's quite internal. It's amongst us.
Yeah.
It's often when one of us really loves a movie and the other one hasn't seen it, and we use this as a night for us to watch.
Yes.
And with the recent passing of David Lynch, in episode 155, we had ourselves a fat chat with old P-Dog. He was present.
Yep.
And we worked out which David Lynch film we should screen.
Yeah.
There were very obvious ones, many of which were the ones I'd seen.
Yes.
So at film school, we watched Lost Highway.
Blue Velvet.
Okay.
And then I watched Mulholland Drive when I was way too young to kind of understand what the fuck was going on. I don't think even grown-ups.
Hyper-erotic film noir, yeah.
Yeah, it was a weird screening with my family.
Oh,
yeah, where we sort of halfway gave up because at halfway point, nobody understood what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
But it's considered, Mulholland Drive is considered like his most highly rated.
I think that's
in Letterboxd.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite David Lynch film.
Okay.
It's my favorite David Lynch film in my head, but Straight Story is my favorite in my heart.
Yes. Yeah. So what we then decided was to screen the film The Straight Story, which is certainly one of his lesser known films, but still equally as incredible and loved. And it is a rather simple story in the fact that it's linear.
Yeah, exactly.
Because a lot of David Lynch's stuff isn't linear. And it was just a lovely screening. I think I will go so far as to say that if we did one of the more obvious ones, I think we would have sold out quickly.
Yeah.
Because I think that was what perhaps people thought we were going to do.
Yeah.
But for Straight Story, we got like 2/3 full. Everyone who came was super cool and very keen and lovely. And it was great always for us to do these presents nights where we get to meet people.
Cool.
There were a handful of people that didn't even know about the podcast, and so this is our chance to tell them about it. So if they are now listening, welcome. it was a great night. So thank you for everyone who did come through, and we will keep doing these sorts of things. I think we must now start planning and in these episodes start talking about our next one.
Yeah.
Cool.
And what's nice is we were also able to record a few little interviews.
Nice.
So these are the returns that we are occasionally able to put in the episodes. And so we'll hopefully have one of those customers come in a bit.
Nice.
And give a visit and return something. But today we can also talk about Companion.
Yeah.
Which is a cool new horror film. That Perrin, you went and watched because it was on the same night as our
Straight
Presents
Story,
night.
Right.
I'd like to talk to you more, Perrin, about Straight Story.
Okay, cool.
So we'll get into that. What do we got? Skeleton Crew, you guys have finished watching the TV show, the Star Wars TV show. Mm-hmm. But then, and then we'll do our news, our Hey Did You Guys See. Cool. But let's just talk a little bit about Straight Story.
Mm. Cool.
It's so sweet. It's so beautiful. Sweet, it's a story of an old man who gets wind that his brother has had a stroke and he needs to go and visit him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a car. He's very old. Mm. And so he takes to his tractor.
Right.
And travels across the country. It was David Lynch's only film for Disney.
Yeah.
So you can see how it was set up to be a Disney movie, but it's not on Disney Plus. Because it actually doesn't deliver like a Disney movie.
Mm. Right.
It could have a Disney movie would have been far more punchier, far more cutesy, far more
on the nose,
soppy, and gooey. Mm. It would have had that plinky plonky kind of music throughout.
Plinky plonky.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Instead, you've got the Angelo Badalamenti.
But instead, it was this very quiet, very sweet, very like. Slow-paced indie film where along the way, you haven't seen it, hey Graham?
No.
Along the way, this old man meets these people.
Yeah, it's a road movie.
And so he meets this like drifter or this like hitchhiker young girl who's pregnant. He meets this like war vet in a bar. But he's got these like beautiful eyes, Graham.
Right.
He's got this like very sweet face, like hairy old man, but he's got these... He's so well cast because his eyes sort of dot around and look around and he's just got this like sweetness in his demeanor.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's a lovely film. So if anyone's able to go and watch it, I recommend you do. It's a lovely film.
What I appreciate that, I mean, obviously in that chat, me and Gad were like, no, let's do the Straight Story because it's the most... And David Lynch film, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like, in those opening frames, it feels like a David Lynch film.
Oh, where he sort of drifts over the fields and stuff.
Yeah, it's got that weird ethereal-ness that David Lynch possesses.
Right.
But the whole film, I mean, what I love about that film is it just taps into a different side of David Lynch that you're not used to. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So, like, David Lynch, you're used to weird, messed up, strange stories, surreal, like you said, non-linear, usually
it's fucked up crazy stuff. There's no question about
it. But Straight Story is just like we said last week, it's a straight story. It's no frills. It is what it is. It's about aging, it's about family, and it's just such a beautiful, sweet, soft film. I think it taps into the warmth of who David Lynch actually was outside of his fucked up films. Because whenever you hear people speak about David Lynch, or he's always spoken about in the warmest, most
collaborative and
exactly
the passion for storytelling.
And you can tell it's not a case of people just saying that because they want more work or they don't want to burn their bridges or whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone who's worked with David Lynch has always said that he's the loveliest, sweetest human. And you can see it in interviews as well. He's a warm, genuine guy, and I feel like the Straight Story is a real insight into just the warmth of David Lynch. And it's visually, it's a warm film.
No, lovely. And it should go on the shelf of films South African student filmmakers should watch.
100%.
Because that guy in his tractor could be in Bloemfontein.
Yes.
Exactly.
You could have made that film in Bloem, where this guy gets in his tractor and has to go visit his friend in fucking the Northwest. It could have been. It's that simple.
Exactly. Yes. I'm not giving anything away, but that final scene is just so lovely.
And it's
so touching.
And it's not as obvious as you think. But
And he got an Oscar nomination for it.
Cool. For best
actor?
That actor.
I think Lynch actually does his second best director nomination.
Okay. Good.
Oh, no, it isn't. You got for Blue Velvet, Mulholland Drive, and Elephant Man. Never mind. He should have been nominated.
All right. One of the nice little heartwarming moment I thought I could share now is I love standing in the lobby of the Bioscope when I'm not having to sort of be upstairs and answering emails and planning shit.
Yeah.
And we meet the most amazing people. And I just thought I'd share something with you guys about a very in passing, very simple interaction I had with someone. our first question when someone walks into the Bioscope is, are you familiar with us? Because then that leads us in two clear paths. Either I've got to carve out a room in your brain to explain how an independent cinema works in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
And for some people, that's easier or tougher, depending on their exposure to culture and the rest of the world. Sometimes the person's like, no, I come all the time. And then you can have another chat about what's coming up or new things or whatever. But the moment I said, are you guys familiar with us? She said, I'm familiar with your voice. And it was a woman who came with her daughter. And she then went on to say, I've recently had cancer treatment, which when they do chemo and stuff, it's hours.
Yeah.
You got to sit in those chairs.
Yes.
And she said, you guys really helped me get through it.
Nice.
That's lovely.
And I was like, what? Yeah. That's amazing. thought, what a nice thing to hear. And then someone started phoning me, which I had to answer. It was an important call.
Right.
And I was like, please, can we talk more? And then I saw them, leave while I was still having a call. But I was like, that was so nice. That kind of made my day.
Where that's it
was
like, sweet, yeah.
You know, we know we get these listens, and we know even from the display of the world map, that they are folks from around the world. It's always nice just to hear someone.
Yeah.
Like when Short Straw played Kirstenbosch,
okay,
and we were doing a fan meet and greet afterwards, it's quite overwhelming. You're there for sort of 40 minutes with people lining up.
Yeah.
And one person was like, and I love the show. And I was like, oh my God, it started. That was at the beginning of last year. I was like, you're the first one. Awesome. We also got a lovely message on Instagram from someone who said they finally watched Sing Sing because Russell didn't stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Gush agree approved. By
Gooey fucking approved.
Absolutely.
And she was... Sounds like she's a South African, but she was in Australia.
Okay.
And was able to watch it in Australia. And I still maintain, and we're going to keep talking about it as we get closer to the 2nd of March or whenever the Oscars are, Colman Domingo is my guy. If I was a member of the Academy, I would vote for him.
Agreed. I would as well.
Agreed.
For Best Actor for Sing Sing. And once again, I'm not going to shut up about it. It's something so you should watch.
Jesus.
Because I wanted to actually mention now, it feels like this year, the campaigning for your Oscar has felt more like a campaign and been referred to as a campaign more than any other year.
Right.
So in the build-up, the moment the nominations are announced, we as the general public tend to think, everyone goes and votes and whoever sort of genuinely, deserves it will get the prize.
Right.
But we've said before, it's a game of politics. You have to do appearances, you have to do things. And I think in the past, it's felt like all those efforts were sort of more secretive and less referred to as a campaign. Where now, I don't know, maybe it's the Trump politics where we're sort of more aware of the manipulation of politics nowadays and social media, where people are referring to Chalamet's SNL appearance as his campaign for Best Actor. I've never, ever heard that before.
Yeah, it's crazy because we mentioned before that in the past, when people would campaign, it would be hush-hush. You don't realize that with the Academy Awards, even the Grammys in particular, you have to submit for something to be up for contention.
Yeah,
so totally.
If I'm a lead actor in a film and I don't submit it to the Academy for your consideration for Best Actor, it won't be considered.
Yes. Yeah, no, and that's...
Which is stupid. It's insane because it also shows that it's a very fickle industry where you have to put yourself out there in order for them to be like, okay, we'll consider you for this big award instead of just choosing you over merit.
But I'll never forget in the early days of Short Straw when we took on a publicist because that felt was needed, and this lovely publicist who's been with us the whole time was like, this is what I do, this is what I can add. And we were like, oh, this sounds great. And then you get on the front page of whatever newspaper and you're like, oh, they don't just do that because they like you. Like, she sends them press releases.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
It's like, oh, There's this like great shift into adulthood where you're like, you don't just win Grammys. You actually pay often quite a lot of money to be considered.
Yeah.
And 100%. Also, it's worth mentioning, we chatted about David Lynch. There was that one time where he very famously
with a cow.
Took a sat on the side of a busy road in LA with a cow.
Yeah.
And a big sign that said, Laura Dern for your consideration.
Yeah, where Inland Empire. Yeah.
Where he was trying to get her nominated. But one thing to just chat about quickly before we get into the Hey Did You Guys See's is in this transparency of campaigning, a film like Emilia Perez is getting incredible scrutiny and is sort of losing points in this race because of controversies about tweets that the lead actor or actress said you know, ages ago about George Floyd.
Yeah, right. And Muslim people in Spain.
Okay. Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah,
it's not great.
Awful, awful.
And it just shows that these things come out, but it also just shows how delicate the PR is in these few weeks and how this has now put a dent in.
Yes.
And Chalamet totally nailed the Bob Dylan covers in I SNL, so now he's doing better. It's
Yeah, wow. It's crazy because like it also the problem with it also being a big focus on their campaigns and stuff. The crap thing about that, and the thing is, I know it's lame to love watching Oscars, but I watch it every year live at 3 a.m.
Oh, you
I
do it.
Yeah,
do it.
So nice. I literally, it's like I love it. I love watching. I hate it when films I hate win, but I love it when films I love win. When Moonlight. Actually won over La La Land, I fucking screamed at 6:45 in the morning. I was like it was awesome. Anyways.
It must have been a whirlwind.
It was crazy. When La La Land won, I was like, fuck off. Like, I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then like Moonlight, I was like, yes. I'm sorry to the La La Land lovers. I'm not a lover of La La Land. Anyways, moving on. The problem with the campaign stuff is that it also, it when people say, oh, you just have to, the Oscars are all bought. No one actually deserves, like, earns them. And it sucks because there are times, I mean, the Oscars of the past 8 or so years have mostly gotten it right. Let's be real.
Yeah.
They've got Parasite. They've got a whole bunch of great movies that deservedly won, at least in my opinion. If you speak to the next person, they're going to be like, Nomadland shouldn't have won, or this shouldn't have won, or whatever. But anyways, like, I feel it sucks because, then it ruins the process of choosing stuff over merit. Mm-hmm. And in the campaign process, one thing that I enjoy reading and also hate reading is the anonymous ballot voter articles. And it's people who are speaking about who they honestly voted for, but it's so mean-spirited as well, where they're just super nasty about who they voted for because of X, Y, and Z, or who they didn't vote for because of X, Y, and Z.
Are they publishing what people say?
Yeah, anonymous.
They're doing it anonymously.
Yeah, so it could be they'll tell you who this person is, a producer or a casting agent or an actor.
It's interesting
whatever.
that they're sharing that information.
Yeah, and then sometimes it's like really like it's bullshit. Like, how the fuck are you allowed to vote for these films? So there's been times where one person was like, I've only seen one of the films this year, so I'm only voting for that one. I hate this filmmaker. I hate this. I hate that. I'm not going to vote for them. It's like, okay, like that's crap because you want to vote because you genuinely feel this is the best. So like I go out of my way to make sure I've watched all the movies so I have an actual opinion of who I think should win, who would win.
You should almost, your voting status should be somehow challenged or sort of kept up. You know, like to be a member of a country club or something, you got to come a certain amount of times or you got to it's not just about, you know, you got the membership once.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Sorry, just one more thing. Like one thing that pissed me off was when Jennifer Lawrence, she said when it was around Oscar season for when The Phantom Thread came out, and I love The Phantom Thread by P.T. Anderson, and she said, I watched 7 minutes of it and I hated it. I gave up because I hated the main character. Bro, you only watch 7 minutes.
Sure.
You can't have an opinion on the movie if you've only seen 7 minutes.
Yeah, sure.
And she's a fucking voter. Like, I love J-Law, but like, come on, man. But anyways.
All right. Let's do a little round of Hey Did You Guys See. This is our entertainment news.
Yes.
Our goss. Our hot goss. Do you want to kick things off, G-Force?
Oh, Lord, sure, I can do that. I only have the one.
Cool.
But I do want to get into this.
Hey, did you guys see, we actually mentioned this before in passing, that that Michael Jackson biopic got delayed.
Yes, I saw that, yeah.
We now know why it got delayed. Yeah.
Yes.
This is fucked up.
Yeah, it is messed up.
So the reason it got delayed is back in the early 90s, back in like, I think it was 1994, there was all the legal hubbub about Michael Jackson being accused of a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
One of these cases was settled out of court with someone named Jordan Chandler.
Are these like the kiddie?
Yes, so this kid was 13 years old.
Yeah.
It was settled out of court, blah, blah, blah. One of the legal things that they put in place was the Michael Jackson estate, Michael Jackson himself, all those are not allowed to use his story in any way. Okay. He can't be included in anything. They're not allowed to fictionalize it or anything like that.
Okay.
Which is exactly what they've done in this movie.
Oof. Okay.
So a big part of the movie, apparently, like basically the entire third act revolves around the story of specific child accusing him. And I want to read this like verbatim.
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah. The biopic covers this issue at length with director Antoine Fuqua depicting Jackson in the movie as a naive victim of the money-grubbing Chandlers.
Oh.
Fuck this movie, dude.
Okay.
Yeah. Fuck this.
Because I was about to say, if this was a really bad,
yes,
crazy thing, why did anyone choose in the biopic,
yes,
to cover it? Oh, unless unless they were going to cover them in a bad light.
They're trying to make Michael Jackson look like the victim in the
but
whole
that's,
thing.
So that's the power of a good music biopic, yeah, right? I feel like that's what A Complete Unknown did well,
yes,
is that they broke down the mythos of Bob Dylan and actually showed he was a bit of an asshole.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it doesn't need huge embellishment, but there's just one or two moments where the one character turns to old Bob sitting on the bed and goes, "You're a bit of an asshole."
Yeah.
And he goes like, "Yep, I know."
And but that's what you want from a good biopic. I mean, Oppenheimer did that well in the sense that they showed how he was very naive in what he was getting into in terms of what the impact of the nuclear bomb would actually entail, right? So that's a good biopic, is when you actually you make your subject accountable for the mistakes that they've made.
Yes. The best example of how that is done 100% is Better Man.
Oh, definitely.
That's what makes Better Man such a great movie. Yeah. Is like he owns it all. Oh. And he's like, "I'm a fucking moron."
Yeah.
Such a good movie.
It is rare. Like no other film does that. Yeah. Every other biopic, whether Queen is involved or not, they all try and make their subject the greatest, grandest, genius level person.
That so I know they're doing reshoots because of that. Yeah. So they have to reshoot the entire third act.
I would guess so, yes.
Jesus.
So I'm going to plant a little seed now. Yeah. I met a very interesting guy in the lobby.
Yeah.
I love who I meet in the lobby. an American guy who is a camera operating crew and is working on Michael.
No way.
And has worked on Michael, and I've got his number, and
that's,
I was like,
fucking cool.
"Don't you want to come and visit the video store?" And he's like, "Let's talk later in the year, rather
when I've done research."
No, because he says exactly that, where he's like, "When we can actually speak more about
like once
Michael,
the movie's out,
because right
sort
now,
of thing.
Yeah,
it's hard to talk about what they can't and can't
that's
talk
crazy.
About."
If it even, I imagine at this point it'll come out, but there's a big part of me that's kind of going, "I hope this movie tanks."
Yeah.
Normally
yeah.
I don't like call, but I don't want these things to do badly. But in this case, I'm like,
it's Michael Jackson's like
estate.
Yeah, so that's a big red flag. Yeah.
Someone Jackson is playing him.
I'm just going to like, I don't want this movie. Like the people who will really benefit from this, I'm assuming a big part of this was probably funded by his estate.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't want you guys to make money off of this. But I'm not watching this movie. Yeah.
But that's another good biopic that was interesting. Because like you also want biopics that are, I mean, sure, involve the estate, but then they need to not sanitize everything, right? So the Bob Dylan one was great because Bob Dylan approved it. He was like, "This is great, go for it." So The Apprentice with Sebastian Stan and Jeremy Strong, right? So Sebastian Stan plays Donald Trump and Jeremy Strong plays Michael Cohen, which is evil incarnate, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, the interesting thing about that movie, so expectedly Trump tanked it, like trashed it. It was like, "Oh, this is not bleh," right?
Yeah.
But what that movie does well is it's not a caricature of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It's literally, it's showing you how this man became who he was, because Michael Cohen was his like
Mentor. Right? There was nowhere near as much discourse around that movie as that I was expecting.
Yeah, I'm surprised it got nominated for Best Actor and Supporting. Yeah. And Sebastian Stan's fantastic because he, like I said, it's not a character. Mm-hmm. He feels like a human being, which makes it scarier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because Donald Trump did have some stuff to say about it, but other than that, I was expecting people like, you know, his loyalists screaming from the rooftops, but it's like they've hardly said anything.
Because they don't really go out and watch arthouse movies.
Yeah, they go out and watch conservative... Well,
commenting on stuff they know nothing about has never stopped them before.
Yeah, sure, exactly.
I know. But it just like... But it sometimes shows you like just the world in which these movies live in, which is
100%.
More left, arthouse watching.
Yeah.
Mm. You know? Yeah, I get you.
And it might not even be in the algorithms of them to even know it exists.
It probably isn't, 100%. Yeah.
P-Dog, have you got one? Thanks for that. I think it's interesting.
It's very interesting.
It's cool, and it'll be interesting to see what this movie ends up becoming.
Okay, so I'm gonna hey, did you guys see so Emilia Perez, the Oscar Blitzkrieg has hit a serious pothole. So the lead actress, I'm blanking on her name, I'm so sorry, so the first openly trans actress to ever be nominated for an Academy Award for Best Actress.
Is she trans in real life?
Yeah, she is.
Okay.
So it's a big deal. It's an important step for representation, right?
Yeah. So this is a born male.
Yeah, who transitioned to a female, being a woman. Yeah,
and is nominated for Best Actress.
Yes.
As a result. Okay.
So the big. All right. So some of her tweets from the past have come up, and they are pretty racist and pretty Islamophobic, right? Okay. So they're in relation to George Floyd and in relation to them being too many damn Muslims in her neighborhood, right? So, so it's like super offensive, and now it's just damage control now. She's like, oh, I'm not racist.
Sure, she issued all these sort of very heartfelt apologies and things.
But the damage is done. I mean, I think her chances of winning the Oscar are slim to none now. I don't think she was going to win either way. But
Who do we think is Best Actress?
Who's nominated? I haven't given it much thought.
We've been going on about the males.
I do think it's Category Ford. I don't think she should be nominated in lead. She's a supporting character in that film, even though the film is named after her character.
Yeah.
I think Zoe Saldana is the lead in that film.
Okay.
But what was I going to say?
I'm getting there.
The problem with this being an issue as well is that we had one step forward. Even though Emilia Perez isn't a good film, it's important representation for someone like that to be seen, but it's now two steps back.
Yeah,
because there's a shitty person, regardless of, you know, what gender they identify as, which is important and stuff like that, it's just fucking it up for everyone else.
Yeah.
Because now this gives ammo to, you know, the MAGA supporters who are look, they're all terrible people and, you know, they shouldn't be there. And I hope he wins. Fuck, that's all I'm seeing in the comment sections.
Yeah.
But one thing I find interesting about Emilia Perez is it's a very rare occasion where moviegoers and non-moviegoers are uniting for the hate of Emilia Perez.
Yeah.
It's filmmakers and critics love the film, but viewers are like, we hate this movie because it's bad for representation. It's Mexican stereotypes. It's damaging for the trans people.
Yeah.
And then you got the right who are like, oh, we hate it because it's got Mexicans. It's got trans people. It's got this. And we can all agree that the musical numbers are dog shit. Wow. But it'll be interesting to see how that affects their entire campaign.
Yeah. Quick back of the box is the fact that it's a drug lord who's a male.
Yeah.
Who transitions to sort of evade
the
police and whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's this kind of Mexican crime drama.
Directed by a French man who doesn't speak Spanish or English.
That is, for some unbeknownst reason, a musical.
Yeah.
So it's been an Oscar sort of darling, and every now and again we see one of these movies that very much sort of tick the boxes, and so the Academy tends to fan about these films and often prop them up, sometimes more than they perhaps are deserving.
Yes.
So like a La La Land, for example, is a nice, good musical, but because it celebrates LA, and because it's this love letter to Hollywood and stardom, it just creates this sort of hot air under every Academy member. So they fucking love it.
Yeah, they love musicals.
Also, part of it is, like, we're talking about the campaigning. Most of that campaigning doesn't happen in front of the public. It happens behind closed doors.
Exactly, yeah.
So they're parties, obviously campaigning the shit out of immediate.
Yeah,
immediate
parties, parades, screenings, private screenings. Yeah. I know.
They're obviously going mad with that.
I got a firsthand account of this when the movie The Wound.
Yeah, yes. Jeez, I remember
It was shortlisted for Best International Feature in its year.
Mm. Yeah.
And upon talking to the producers, they were like, no, it was very interesting. We were shortlisted, but we needed this critical 3 or 4 months before. Because as you know, Oscars are in the start of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the key time is November, December, January. And they were like, we needed funding to help our campaigns where you throw these dinner parties and you do these things and you try and get your face in front of the voting members, just like Donald Trump will do rallies all across America to get his face in front of his voters.
They're eating cats and dogs.
And they said they needed help. They needed extra funding.
Yeah.
And this was in November, December, where they were like, in South Africa, everyone was fucking on holiday mode.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get the right funding to come through. And they seemed to think that really didn't help their campaign. And at the same time, another film, which was a Hungarian film, got picked up by Netflix. So they got this incredible cash injection.
I think I know what it is. Body and Soul or something
like that. And then that sort of got over the finish line. That was their reading of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So just to fill this in, we have the leading actress nomination. So it's Carla Sofia Gascón.
Yes, that's
for
the
Emilia Perez. Yeah. Then we have Cynthia Erivo for Wicked.
Ooh.
Mickey Madison for Nora. That's Demi Moore for The Substance. And Fernanda Torres for I'm Still Here.
So I think. Okay. So Fernanda Torres is the wild card. She won Golden Globe for Best Actress. I think. We've seen it before where So the favorite at the moment, I think, is Demi Moore.
Yes.
100%.
I think people want it to be her.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be either her or Fernanda Torres. Okay. I think it's neck and neck.
You don't think the popular vote? You don't think Cynthia Erivo?
No, I don't think so. I think, look, she's great in Wicked. She's amazing. But I think she's... I would place her as second last in that list of the best performances. Mikey Madison, I'd love to see one, I don't think she will.
She is one of the most nominated people in this race.
Yeah,
she's been nominated for more than anyone else.
But look, Fernanda Torres is a
Mikey Madison. I'm talking about.
Yeah. Fernanda Torres is an incredible actress. I'm dying to see the film that she's in. I don't know when it's coming out. But Demi Moore would be a great Cinderella story.
It's a nice thing.
Yeah.
But just speaking of Mexican drug lords, not Mexican drug lords, just Mexicans in general. Hey, did you guys see Etu Mama Tambien?
Yes.
Is now on Netflix.
Oh cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it's so one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, we are now in our sort of, or at least I'm in my late 30s, talking about these kind of more niche but beautiful art house films. Road movies. And I just think that if Etu Mama Tambien had come out now, we would be fucking gushing about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alfonso Cuarón.
Yeah. Yep. In one of his earlier films. And this is, one of the first real breakout roles for Gael García Bernal
and Diego Luna.
And I just think it's fucking worth your time.
It's so good.
Because it's one of these movies that if you love the Bioscope and these kinds of films, if you love the films that we talk about here, I thought it'd be worth you going and watching this sort of somewhat older but very celebrated, very daring film.
Yeah,
because I think there's moves and there's a vulnerability and there's a lot of exposure in this film that I think would cause a huge stir today.
100%.
You know, like everyone who got tricked into watching Saltburn because it was on Amazon Prime, but it was actually this daring art house film.
Right.
Had everyone go, oh my God, you know, fuck, you can't forget these scenes.
Yeah.
And this film's got the same thing. I mean, these boys are like jacking off on high dive.
Yeah, into the pool. Yeah.
Next to the pool. And it's like, you just see, you know, you just see them fucking going for it.
Yeah.
You know? It's just so honest, and it's such a beautiful celebration of what it means to be like a stupid sort
kid,
of young,
yeah.
young boy. And your fantasy of being with this older woman and the complexity of adulthood. And, mm. Oh, it's a beautiful film. So I just thought I'd tell you that it's there. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, a quick thing about that. What I love about it is it's packaged as like a raunchy sex comedy. You know, these
but
guys,
it's not really. Yeah.
But there's like you said, it's a coming-of-age film, but it's also a film about class. There are so many interesting elements in it where wherever yeah. they're passing through, there's like a little snapshot into history of what this location, what happened in this location.
Yeah, because the both boys, but in particular...
Yeah, one is rich, one is poor. Yeah,
yeah, in particular, Diego Luna's character, he's a very wealthy kid in Mexico. Yeah. But yeah, if you're going to search for it on Netflix, you got to put in why.
Yeah.
Why, and then the next word is T-U.
Yeah.
So that's how you pronounce it.
It means and your mother too.
Yeah.
French, Spanish. But yeah.
In Mexican.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
You didn't have another one.
No.
Eh? Okay. I wanted to also mention, hey, did you guys see that shooting has started on Ruben Östlund's new feature?
Fuck yeah. It's on set. It's taking place on a plane.
Yes.
I'm fucking excited.
Do you know about this,
okay,
G?
No.
Okay. So just a quick back of the sort of box. Back of the shelf on Östlund. This is, what is he, Danish?
He's Swedish.
Swedish.
Okay.
Filmmaker who brought us Triangle of Sadness, most famously recently.
The Square.
The Square is lovely. Force Majeure.
Yeah.
And each one has been a very lovely critique on society or some aspect of society. Mm. So Force Majeure was very much about being the man in the house and manliness and patriarchy. And your sort of male vulnerabilities. The Square is such a lovely critique on our pretentiousness around modern art.
Yeah.
Triangle of Sadness is this lovely poke at class and the wealth. And
so good. It's Below Deck meets Survivor. I fucking loved it.
It's so good. But it's in this...
so good.
And what it's so lovely is that you just get this really odd European humor, which, you know... Especially the Scandinavians are weird. They direct. They sort of lack sort of weird, you know,
nuance.
And you know, when your country is dark for half the year, you know, you go about life in a different way to a Mediterranean where, you know, the sun's always shining.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's called The Entertainment System Is Down. That's
I'm
the
so
name
excited.
Of this movie.
Okay.
It stars Keanu Reeves and Kirsten Dunst. So this guy's getting bigger and bigger names. It's a dark satire set on a long-haul flight between England and Australia where the entertainment system fails.
Right.
And passengers are forced to face the horror of being bored. It just shows you, like, we're at this point where we need a fucking screen in front of us.
Yeah.
We need to be constantly given things. And what do we, like, our whole little civilization, even if it's just on a plane, will go into fucking chaos. You know, I've had a few panic attacks where my fucking screen goes black and everyone else's system's starting up. And I've gone, oh, sweet Jesus, for the next fucking 20 hours.
Yeah, you're going to raw dog it.
I'm going to raw dog it. Have you seen those kids on the internet?
Yeah, they just don't do anything on the flight. That's stupid.
Have you seen it?
No.
See, I think it's just an internet meme. I'm almost 100% sure that these kids
don't do it.
Yeah.
But they post videos of themselves staring at the map. You know, when you're on the plane and you can see your plane and they go, I'm raw dogging this flight by not watching anything. I'm just watching,
not sleeping,
and I'm just going to watch the screen for, you know, 18 hours or whatever. I'm sure the moment that camera
stops, like
they then go, cool, what are the latest movies?
Yeah.
But yeah, it just sounds cool. And I just think we need these kinds of commentators in the world to poke fun at us.
Yeah.
Especially a movie like The Square, it's totally worth your time. It's just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, Ruben Östlund and Bong Joon-ho are they're the filmmakers that talk about class better than anyone else.
Yeah,
like every one of their films, even if that's not the central viewpoint, it's always in the background somewhere.
Yeah.
And this one, it's totally going to be like a Snowpiercer situation.
Yeah, where the
economy class are going to fight with the first class.
Yeah,
you know,
that's 100%. A great point.
Yeah.
Speaking of sort of bold and unique visions, have you seen the trailer, or should I say, hey, have you guys seen the trailer for the movie Love Me?
No.
Okay. So this is a new like indie, very indie. I think it's the film distribution or production company is Bleecker Street.
Oh,
they make a lot
great.
Of very cool American indie films.
Yeah, they did. Nice.
This really has good. Got Kristen Stewart and Steven Yeun.
Oh, I've heard about this. Yes.
She, okay. This is the most unique, bold, wild film.
Yes, I have seen this. Okay.
She is a buoy in the ocean.
Yes, what Americans would call a buoy.
A buoy.
Yes.
A buoy.
And it's like in this kind of far future.
Yeah.
Where I think Earth is done. Earth is done.
Yes.
And she's this sort of sentient AI buoy.
Yes.
That connects somehow to a satellite,
yes.
which is also somehow sentient.
Yeah.
And they form this connection, and they then build this love story.
It's so cool.
Where they create these avatars for themselves, and obviously in the sort of metaverse,
fucking love,
fall
that.
In love.
Yeah.
It's fucking cool.
That's
it looks so,
so cool.
exciting. And I just, when you see trailers like that, you just go, "We're gonna be okay.
We're back. We're back."
It's just, we're gonna be okay, and you can trash all the fucking Despicable Me's fours and fucking Kung Fu Panda fives and like. Yes, we will always make sequels. That is obvious.
Yeah.
And like, we will always go into bankable territories and we'll always reboot and fucking biopic anyone who's vaguely famous.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll always do that. But in amongst that, do not forget they're these beautiful gems.
Yeah.
And this hopefully is not shit.
Yes.
But this film, Love Me, probably will never get a South African cinema release. But we'll be out there for you to see. It's in cinemas now in the States.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's already?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. No, they're advertising it as being in cinemas. But it's made by a tiny production company. Yeah. They have a tiny microphone and a tiny set
it's
of speakers. So they can't fucking advertise to the world.
Yes.
But that's the thing that, like, I know, you, Graham, you appreciate a huge swing as well.
Love a big swing.
Even if it misses.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even if it, like, edges it and it goes for four, you know? Like, it's fine because, like, Better Man, what I loved about that movie, it takes a massive swing and it connects. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be a huge hit on streaming. I know you guys
hope so. Yeah.
Yes. No, we all agree that film will find its audience.
Yeah. But, like, I think
they just need to watch it.
But that's the thing, though, is that, like, it irritates me when people saw trailers of that, their two reactions were, this is a great idea or this is a terrible idea. But when they tell you it's a terrible idea, they're like, but it's a monkey. Yeah, but this is a boy in the ocean.
Yeah.
Like, we need movies being made like that that are so fucking weird and left of center and strange and challenge its audience. You know what I mean?
But this sounds like it could still be really sweet and beautiful.
That's exactly
the point,
right?
It sounds accessible. Sometimes you watch a trailer and you're like, I have no idea what the fuck's
going
on.
Exactly.
This looks pretentious as fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Where this one just looks bold and unique and interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Cool. The take on Better Man that I don't get is, I don't know who Robbie Williams is, so I'm not going to watch this movie. It's
that
like what people are saying is, I only want to watch movies about stories I already know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like,
but do you know what? That also shows the arrogance of Americans, is that they expect the world to know who Tom Brady is.
Yes.
But the moment someone who's famous outside of America comes in, they're like, who's Robbie Williams? And they were so angry about it.
Yes.
Like, just watch it. And I'm telling you now, and everyone critically acclaimed and everyone who's actually seen it love the fucking movie.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt that it's a great film.
Yeah.
But it'll get its audience. I got one more.
Cool.
Which is, hey, did you guys see Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein?
Yes.
Will arrive on Netflix in November.
Oh, is it going straight to Netflix?
Yeah, I think it was always going to be a Netflix movie.
But I think it'll be, it usually, because they want Oscars, cinema for at least 2 weeks prior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it has, that doesn't mean we'll get it in cinemas.
Yeah.
We also might not get it on our Netflix in November, but it's at least, that's its kind of timing, which is quite cool.
I think we will, because Guillermo del Toro has a deal with Netflix. Like, we got Pinocchio when it was supposed to come out.
Yeah, stuff that's made for Netflix goes to Netflix, like, globally at the same
time. Sure, but Emilia Perez is a Netflix movie.
Yeah, but I think it's only for America where it's distributed. Yeah.
So
same as May December.
There'll be like other studios involved in that.
Yeah, it's all these different deals. This is what I often have to tell people. Every single film is in its own unique little place.
Yeah, like people
it's
think.
It's not like music where it's like you just get Apple Music and you get everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's some films where it'll be distributed by A24 only in America, but in Europe it's Mubi. You know,
yes,
or Neon only in America, but in Europe it's something else. You know,
what is your last one?
So the Jonathan Majors film magazine Dreams that was scrapped 2 years ago because of his domestic violence trial and accusations and all that.
I think he got convicted, hey?
I think she dropped charges. Yeah, I think they settled outside of court.
Yeah.
But anyways, despite video evidence, Magazine Dreams is coming back. Trailers, it looks fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Like, it looks sensational.
I don't think there was any question that the guy was a good actor.
Yeah. So that was supposed to be his Oscar. When that came, when that first screened, I think at Sundance, everyone was like, Jonathan Majors is the front runner to win an Oscar for this.
Right. Yeah.
And he won't win an Oscar now because of that. But fuck, I hate to say it, it looks fucking amazing. It's about a bodybuilder who his whole like life purpose is to become a bodybuilder, and it looks surreal and it looks fucking gorgeous. It seems like the straight version of Love Lies Bleeding.
Okay.
Which back of the box is Kristen Stewart works at a bodybuilding place and she falls in love with a bodybuilder, and they get embroiled in her family's crime business and stuff, and it's really weird and really good. Magazine Dreams is back, so that'll be interesting to see how that is
received.
Okay.
Oh, I see someone coming. I think this is a return.
Cool.
Let's deal with this customer. How's it?
Hi, how are you doing, good. Russell?
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too, as usual.
What are you returning?
So I am returning a film that I always return to, which is In the Mood for Love by Wong Kar-wai.
Oh, did you watch it recently?
I actually watched it for the first time at the Prince Charles Theatre in London.
Oh my God.
And that theatre is now at risk of closing down.
I was literally about to say, I follow them on social media and I saw that news.
Yeah, it's breaking my heart. I signed the petition. I put like a fake UK address.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I watched Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yes. There. I also watched Paris, Texas there.
Oh, cool.
So I was there at a good time. There were some real, you know, killer films playing.
And it was the first time you saw In the Mood for Love?
No, it wasn't the first time, but it was the first time that I saw it in a cinema, which is, a magical experience.
Yeah, lovely.
One I'll always remember.
Oh, what a cool thing.
Yeah, we
screened it in the early days of the Bioscope as one of our noodle box cinema, where you ate like a sort of chow mein.
Oh.
And we realized that, that kind of movie on its own is obviously great and hopefully people would have come out. But in the early days of the Bioscope, you add the noodle box. And it sells out.
So it was a full cinema.
Yeah. No, it was beautiful.
That must have been so fun.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. Okay, what a good one. And what did you think of Straight Story?
Amazing.
Was it the first time you'd seen it?
It's the first time I saw it. I'm still trying to process how good it is.
It's lovely. It's beautiful. And
so
simple.
Yeah.
So simple.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to show a film student.
Absolutely.
Where it's like
I was surprised there weren't more of them here.
Cut. Yeah. Hey, you do what you can.
You do what you can. No, this is the thing, you know. I was volunteering at the Encounters Film Festival in like 2023, and there were so few film students there. I was just surprised. Yeah. But
you know what?
We have work to do.
Yeah. And the ones that really give a shit,
they will
really come out. Like, they're the ones that'll go into the industry and do well.
Absolutely.
The ones that you never hear of were the ones that never showed up.
We'll see.
Magic. Okay, cool. What a lovely return.
Thank you for having me.
Lovely. And hope to see you at the video store soon.
Yes, inshallah. Thank
Cheers.
You.
Bye. Okay, cool. Lovely. We appreciate that. It's always nice just getting more feedback from folks.
Exactly.
So just know that anyone can give us a return. We are in the process of setting up a far more accessible way of doing this.
Okay, cool.
I just need to get my ducks in a row, but there will be a WhatsApp number in the future.
Okay.
But for now, you can send a voice note to our Instagram.
Nice.
That is one way of doing it. Or you can email us.
Yes.
All the details are on the videostore.co.za and in the links below. But it is always lovely to chat to other people. Okay, let's Because, you know, that is the job. Mm. We do have to interact with customers. I mean, as nice as it is having to talk to you guys, but fuck, every now and again it gets busy. P-Dog, tell us about Companion quick.
Okay, so Companion is about a couple who go to a little retreat in the middle of nowhere at this big fancy house. And we find out through, it's in the trailers, so yeah, and it's part
of the
synopsis.
Unfortunately, they give this away. Yeah,
yeah, is that she's an android. She's a companion bot to Jack Quaid. This is Sophie Thatcher. She was in Heretic.
Yeah.
And Jack Quaid is obviously in The Boys, son of Dennis Quaid.
And Meg Ryan.
Yeah, and something bad happens where it throws their whole relationship in, like, turmoil.
Cool.
So, in the trailers, they kept on saying, like, from the twisted minds who brought you Barbarian, right?
And The Notebook.
Yeah.
They leaned into that.
So the marketing for it, for me, kind of ruined the experience of the film.
Right? Okay.
So I think the film is good. I do think it suffers from some late second act and third act laziness where, like, they dug themselves in a hole and they thought of the easiest, most... I don't want to say deus ex machina, where that means act of God, where like something completely unrelated saves the day. Anyways, they just climb out too easily of situations, right? But when we watched it, so it was a combination of Empire Entertainment. They're the distributors for a lot of these great indie films that come here. They invited me and us and stuff like that. So we knew what we were getting into. But it was also a collaboration with Secret Cinema Club, which they just tell people, this is what to expect. We're not telling you what it is.
It's a lovely idea.
It's a great idea.
And we attended one recently where it was the same, where we knew, a whole bunch of us knew, and then a whole bunch didn't.
Cool.
The Bioscope once had, for many years, Mystery Movie Night, which was a very similar idea. We gave a few clues.
Right. Yeah.
It was a bold swing, and I don't think we did it well enough. But it's really cool that someone has put up their hand to create this kind of thing. They partner with the distributors. It's really interesting because, you know, the distributor does the heavy lifting, and they just got to invite people.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they people didn't know what it was, and we bumped into people that we knew, and they're like, oh, should we tell you? They're like, no, don't tell us. So when we were watching the movie, it's interesting because, like, a few of us knew exactly what was happening. And the annoying thing about the film is that they place clues as to what the real, what she really is, right? And the audience weren't picking it up and were like, they don't know, you know?
Okay.
And when it happens, the audience were like, oh, what the fuck? That's crazy. And I wish the trailers leaned into it being a rom-com.
Mm.
Like the studio bought you The Notebook.
Yes.
Right? They actually trick you. Yeah.
And it's not as the thing with Barbarian, the marketing for Barbarian was genius. Barbarian is, I think it's still on Netflix. It's a horror comedy. It's fucking crazy. They gave you just enough to suggest what happens in the movie, but they hide so much. I mean, the first trailer was just called the new Justin Long movie. And it's just him driving in a car, and it looks like a silly comedy. And then the trailer flips it on its head, and you're like, what the fuck is this? Like, it's
cool.
This crazy horror, right?
Right.
And the film does that. With Companion, I feel like they should have hid all of its fucking moving parts.
Mm.
And then when it happens, it's actually, like, thrilling. Because I was jealous that everyone in the cinema didn't know that she was an android. I was like, oh, come on, man.
No, that's lovely.
But it is a fun movie for the most part. It's really funny. I wouldn't say it's a horror. I'd say it's a comedy thriller.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, it's a cool little, it's like a cool little metaphor for a toxic relationship.
Right.
You know, and she, as opposed to the robot being the bad guy, she's actually the good guy. You're rooting for AI, supposedly. But there's certain elements where the plot holes where I'm just like, there's certain elements where they increase her like intelligence, but it actually doesn't do her any good, and not in like a purposeful way. It's just like, oh, that was it. Okay, never mind. But I did enjoy it, and I'm glad the people loved it. It's a film you should go in as blind as possible.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
lovely.
Nice.
Anything else? G, you finished Skeleton Crew.
Finished Skeleton Crew. We're a little bit late on this, so I won't spend too much time on it.
Mm.
But it's a jam. I don't know how much of it you've seen.
I haven't seen any of it.
Okay.
So
it's so much fun. So to like, we can summarize a bit here. It's Star Wars adventure story thing. It's basically a bunch of kids living on a Star Wars planet find what turns out to be a spaceship, which they accidentally turn on and it blasts them off into space.
That's awesome.
So this is a TV show on Disney Plus.
8-episode TV show, And they wind up with Jude Law.
Oh, sick.
Who's like helping them in inverted commas. Mm. But then we learn who he is and everything. And it's so much fun. It's very like a Goonies.
Oh, yes. I love that shit.
There's a lot
love
of
that.
You know,
because
there's a lot of inspiration
main protagonist
from
are kids.
Yeah,
so
they're
like,
all kids. Yeah.
It is a little bit of a kid's show.
Yeah. No, I think it's well suited for kids.
Yeah.
And it's super well made, like the visual effects and everything. There's a big stop motion crab.
Oh, cool.
They do stop motion effects in this thing. Cool. It's really cool.
It's clearly made by people who loved a certain Star Wars.
It's got a good selection of directors as well, like Bryce Dallas Howard.
Oh, she's great. She is really good with the Star Wars stuff.
The Daniels do an episode.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. They do an episode. The guy who did Twisters, and he did another, he did a Korean film.
He did Minari.
Yes.
Great film.
He does an episode of that. It's got a good selection of directors.
Does it feel
as well
different as a result of the different directors?
Not really. It works well, like, episodically. Like, there have been a few Star Wars TV shows where you can tell they've written it as one thing and then they just kind of arbitrarily break it up.
Okay.
Whereas this has, like, good stopping and starting
points.
Oh, cool. It's not like week to week is a different story, but it feels like there's like these natural breaks that they've clearly written into it.
Just a little callback. The two actors that I was saying were in Etu Mama Tambien.
Yes.
Diego Luna.
Yeah.
Became the star of Andor.
Andor, yeah.
So it just shows that this was this early film where, you know, they were still breaking out, but they all went on to do amazing stuff.
Exactly.
Including these big Star Wars shows.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you dig it. Is it finished now?
It finished a couple of weeks ago. Like I said a few weeks ago, I still stand by this. There's shows like Stranger Things, which is a show for 80s kids.
Exactly, yeah.
It's like made for people who are now adults, but it reminds them of stuff they watched before, whereas this is very much made for like 80s kids who have kids.
Yes. Oh, that's
so they
great.
Can show it to their kids.
Yeah. But that's one thing that I feel like a lot of these fucking angry Star Wars, you know, armchair critics, they seem to forget that Star Wars was always intended to have children's involvement in mind.
100%.
You know what I mean? They marketed toys around every Star
all
Wars
about
movie.
The toys,
Star Wars is a movie about space wizards intended for children.
Exactly, right? So like, and the thing is, it just like, so that's why I wanted to know, what's the consensus been around the fan base?
I think people are liking it, but I know the views haven't been very good. I think people are kind of like tired of Star Wars shows because a lot of them haven't been very good. People really didn't like The Acolyte. People were like mid on the last season of The Mandalorian.
Same thing with Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan, they were all like fine.
So
I think people are a bit tired of them now, which is why they weren't willing to give this one a chance.
It's just, because I always see, Facebook is a cesspool. I always get suggested the shittiest pages. And there's a Star Wars page where they just like, it's all work now. Disney ruined Star Wars. Kathleen Kennedy. Blah, blah, blah. Like, fuck off.
I don't even pay any attention
like,
to that
bro,
shit.
Yeah.
I saw something where someone was like, this was the best Star Wars since, you know, the original trilogy.
It's like the most overtly just like fun Star Wars.
That's what I want from
Star
Wars.
Trilogy,
I don't want it to be overly serious. Like, I just want it to be fun. Goonies. The moment you mention Goonies, I know what I'm going to get.
Like, that's very much the vibe. Even like the pirate stuff.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It's like space pirates.
Speaking of the Goonies, one of the films I watched last week, which I'm afraid I don't want to talk too much about, is Love Hurts, which is Ke-Hi Kwan's return.
Mm-hmm.
He was the little Asian kid in Goonies.
Yeah.
Short Round in Temple of Doom.
Goonies is Radar, right?
Radar. And very famously sort of was this child actor who then sort of opportunities and a whole bunch of things dried up. Lived quite a sort of difficult life in the sense that he sort of wanted that again, but, you know, wasn't getting the kind of roles or possibilities. He then did make the decision to still work in movie making and was a stunt coordinator.
Successful one, apparently.
It did well. And then he very famously came back as an actor for Everything Everywhere All at Once, and it was this beautiful return,
and
he was
an Oscar.
Just so appreciative of his life coming back.
He was the sweetest little man.
Sweetest dude. Like, anyone, if you ever have a chance to listen to something more extended, like a podcast interview, It is very much worth your time to hear him talk about that whole experience and his life. Mm. It even started before he was an actor in these huge Hollywood movies. He was in like a concentration camp.
Yeah, he's a Vietnamese refugee. Yeah,
it's like, it is insane to hear him talk about this. He kept this beautiful relationship with
Spielberg.
Mm. But then in the wake of now winning an Oscar, he's obviously been offered these other roles. And so he is now leading a movie called Love Hurts, which is now in cinemas. It's not great. It's not a great movie. But the best part about it is him. Yeah. Like, he acts well and is kind of right for that role, and I could see why he would choose to take on that role.
Nice.
But what's cool is a character in the film is played by Sean Astin. So these are the two Goonies reunited.
Yeah.
And the relationship between these two is one of like a longtime friend and like more of a mentor, and I was always there and always believed in you. And there was like, there was this lovely subtext in where these two grown men are acting in a scene for this, what is in effect quite a stupid action movie.
Yeah.
There's this little moment of heart because you know that these were two friends from the Goonies.
Mm.
So it was a lovely, that was a lovely thing to see. Unfortunately, Love Hurts isn't worth your time. Yeah. I'm afraid. We held out so much more hope for it, but unfortunately it's not great.
Yeah,
it's nice to think about the Goonies.
Yeah, at least he's getting roles now.
Yeah, totally. And
I always root for Ki Hu Kwan. Yeah. I think he's such a great dude.
He actually spoke about this, saying like post-winning Oscar. Apparently this is like something that a lot of people go through.
It's like a curse, yeah.
Yeah, because they kind of like don't know what to do next. It's like, what do I do? Where do I go after this? And he actually spoke to Steven Spielberg about it.
Yeah.
And he told Spielberg about the film. And Spielberg was like, just do it. Like, don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it.
Just like take a role and like just keep going, like keep the momentum up.
But it's like Ariana DeBassa, who is in Love Hurts as well, Oscar winner for West Side Story, has only been in shit like since. Like, it's wild.
That's
it
right.
Sucks because she's phenomenal.
She was in West Side Story. Yeah, I think one of the smarter moves you can do, but it doesn't necessarily make you an incredible amount of money, is to just play in that weird indie space.
Yeah.
Like a Daniel Radcliffe. It's like, let's just do like the weird shit.
Elijah Wood as well. Yeah.
Doesn't he have to be talking to him about doing like a short round TV series? Surely.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
Surely. Because I know they want to do an Indiana Jones show, and they were talking about making it about Indiana Jones's like mentor.
Oh, cool.
I can't remember the character's name. Marion's father.
Yes.
He's like his mentor, but I'm going like, no. Like, you have this now. This dude is big and everyone loves him.
Yeah.
And bring back this character that everyone loves.
Dr. Jones.
Well, I was about to say that when I did watch Temple of Doom, it was much later. I sort of missed it at the time when I was a kid. I remember thinking, like, this kid's fucking annoying.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. I love him.
I get it, and I see why it was appealing, but like in my head I was like, I'm finding this kid
Indiana Jones is a character, I've said it before, he's a menace, and he hates most people.
Yeah.
He would not let his own son wear his hat.
Yes. Yeah.
But he let Short Round wear his hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. No, so maybe that's a good answer.
Yeah, but his son, let's be honest, is fucking, what's his name?
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. We don't talk about him.
All right. Lovely, guys.
Yeah.
I think it's been a lovely day.
Yeah.
Mm.
Thank you for a good chat.
Cool.
Appreciate you. And once again, thanks to everyone who came out last week for our Video Store Presents. We will be working out a new one.
Nice.
And we also hopefully will have more tickets to give away for other movie meetups.
Cool.
Yes.
It's been a nice few weeks when it comes to that kind of stuff. So we will keep that up.
Nice.
But yeah, homebase is thevideostore.co.za. And links to previous episodes, social media, chime in. As you said, send us returns if there's anything that you guys have enjoyed.
Nice.
We'd love to hear about it. And also chime in if you think you don't agree with who should win Best Actress.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for your time, guys.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Cheers. And we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.